Podcast.
Are we saying podcast?
Ooh.
Ooh.
And I'm done.
And that's our intro.
That was the whole episode.
That was it.
That wasn't anything. Dennis just like sat on something really bad.
I thought he crossed his legs and like squashed his
knees. Jeez. My bad.
Remember he ran into a screw on the desk.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual back at you once again. This is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
This is Harold.
Those moans of ecstasy of any sort.
Not of throes of passion. No,
that wasn't you on ecstasy?
No, I tried that once and... No, wait, that was ecstatic. Oh, my bad. No,
that's just Static Cling.
Or Static Shock, which was a really good show.
Solid show, by the way, by the WB.
One of the very first times where we had African-American.
Damon Wayans is great in it.
Was it?
No, but every time I think of Static Shock, I think of the guy from Big Hero 6.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I thought you were thinking Meteor Man. I was like, no, dude.
Back to my moans, the reason why we're doing that, of course, is that was my lame attempt at sounding like a ghost, because today is our Halloween episode.
Today is our Halloween. Dennis's costume
it's
is a
pirate Halloween.
I'm getting mixed signals right now.
Ghost pirates or are you pirate
so,
ghosts?
The fanboys and I decided to, since it is the Halloween
season,
we are going to wear our costumes. And so we're going to be describing our costumes to each other, but we're going to be describing it, the other person's costume. So it's my turn right now. Lewis is, for some reason, wearing something that looks like a sexy pirate nurse. I'm kind of confused because the eye patch is not on his eye somewhere.
It's on the other eye.
If you know what Harold's saying. And so, yeah, it's a really interesting look. I would go for a wig next time, Lewis. Maybe like, I don't know, some pink hair, but overall I thought the garter that you have, the stockings you have, I think it works.
Finding it in a size 38 was really hard, so I'd like to give myself some credit. So, you know.
Kudos to you.
Yeah, shout out to the local spirit store that took over the dead husk of the Toys R Us.
They said they took over the husky section.
Well, yes, I did. That is also where I got my garter. Thank God, spirit. Thank you.
What if you had to shop for a ghost sheet in the husky section? I'd just be like, damn.
Well, for me, it looks like Harold was inspired by the recent news of the, the Pulp Fiction pop-up coming up in Hollywood. So he is clad in all black leather with a zipper over his mouth. So he could have gone as Julius or anybody else, but he looks like he's going for Jules. I mean Julius.
Or he's working down the street.
Or this is what I wear to work. Because I do
he's
work in Chatsworth.
Classic gimp.
What a great movie.
It is a Saturday night before Halloween. So we'll see you on the news, don't you?
Speaking of which, I was talking to before we go into Dennis's costume.
Are we going in his costume?
Whoa, 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 whoa.
We're already in his costume. But it's weird to me that I know we never really talk about, like, getting philosophical for just a second here about how time flies, you know, the whole kind of time flies kind of deal. It means this is Halloween. That
yes.
That means a year ago we went to that McDowell's pop-up.
Oh, crap. Yeah, you're right.
And it feels just like a year ago.
And it feels like it was just the two of us.
Yeah.
In your car, fighting parking.
Doing a podcast. Having some kind of palpitations from this giant burger that I was eating. It's some their version of the.
Shout out to
no, actually,
shout
it wasn't
out
so
Pat
much
Sal's for almost killing Harold.
It wasn't so much the Big Mick, but it was that sexual chocolate shake.
It was the sexual chocolate shake. Oh my god!
Because that thing,
that thing was ridiculous, dude.
Like
the I thought Dennis was about to moan again. Oh my god! Yeah.
That was his
shake.
That was his sugar level. It's saying, don't do it. Sorry about that. Dennis over here, so glad that he had the opportunity to find the Oscar the Grouch costume that he's always been wanting to wear. Unfortunately, no green on him, so he's just a guy in a trash can. And if he hadn't specifically had the sign that says Grouch on it, it would be like a little bit confusing.
Look, this was last minute.
But like, did you have to spell Grouch wrong? It looks like it says Grouch.
No, that's how Oscar does it though.
Oh, because he's dyslexic?
Yes, I believe so. The R is usually backwards, you know? Then, look, I'm trying to, aside from, you know, bluing myself.
Exactly.
And greening myself, I thought I'd go au naturel, you know?
Oh, that's a very good idea.
But I don't even know where you got a circular trash can, man. Besides underneath ring ropes in a WWF show.
It would be super classic, though, if he was in a current trash can.
What if those ones you roll out to the curb?
It's more topical.
Well, he's a recycling
bin. He's in the blue bin. Because if he's in the green bin, a little bit too accurate. But we're trying to save the environment exactly. So much. And then in this area, there's not that much foliage. So,
Lewis Harold's talking about, time flying next year. You know, if you have any suggestions as to what kind of costumes you want us to wear, please tell us. And I think this should be a new a tradition for us.
I know. I was going to say, if we had a TikTok, we could have posted her.
I know.
I just had an idea.
What's a TikTok?
We'll find out in the next episode.
About $5.99.
No, because you need a TikTok.
Oh, yeah. Oh, halitosis, man. I can't.
I got an idea. We have a Christmas thing coming up.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. In Christmas time?
In Christmas time.
Would it be, and hopefully they're not listening now, but they might be, would it be awesome if we somehow were able to find matching Three Amigos costumes?
I agree. I think it would be great.
Wait, why for Christmas?
Because, you know.
Why not?
Costumes. Christmas. Because
costumes.
Profit.
I mean, look. You
had for New Year's, all right.
You had me at Three Amigos costume.
Because it's the next time when our friends who we only see once a year will be able to be like, I can't believe these guys are our friends.
I'm done. See, there are only two costumes I've always wanted to wear. Okay. One is the Three Amigos, which is the one. And the other one is I've always wanted to get the Beer Fest.
We were talking about that before. Remember when Beer Fest first came out?
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, dude,
the USA jackets, dude.
Yeah, man.
The Velour jackets or whatever it was.
I take that back. We should have all the dudes just as Team USA.
Nice. And have your brother-in-law be the one German guy.
No, he can be on the German team.
Exactly. Put him in Lederhosen.
I mean, if we're going to be fair, it should be him and Mike. Because, half.
Gotcha. So, as we were saying a while ago, today is our Halloween episode. And I have to tell you, I'm not looking forward to this episode because, I love Halloween. I love dressing up for it, as you can see with my Oscar the Grouch outfit.
See, Oscar the Grouch?
Oscar the Grouch.
Oh my God, that'd be great.
What?
Oscar the Grouch, like Oscar the wrestler.
Oh, there's your meme. Nice. There's your meme.
Take note, people. This is Oscar the Grouch. Copyright Herald.
So, so while I do like dressing up, one of the traditions that people have aside from trick or treating is this is the time where movies start coming out on TV. And I have to tell you, I am not really one that likes Halloween movies. I don't like getting scared too much. I have to admit, I still have a phobia of walking down the street because I got attacked once by ninjas.
Yes. No, you got karate shot.
What if they were part of the ninja clan? Did we ever think about that?
No.
No?
He He wasn't jumping over the rooftop and then his oven.
But I was on the floor. So if you,
you didn't have the mask on.
So if you, if
oh,
you,
that's true. You were not wearing the mask.
If you don't know what I mean about the ninja clan in the San Fernando Valley, sign up for our Patreon. You'll have a lot of really interesting stories.
Just one. Just kidding.
It's like the fourth.
No, that fourth story is at least 10 where we could put on our Patreon and be like.
So, Louis, since this is Halloween and you seem to have a fondness of it, why don't we start off and tell us what the episode is going to be about today?
Sounds good, dude. Well, for Halloween, like Dennis mentioned, you know, we do love our spooky movies, but last year we already talked about our favorite scary movies. So this time around, we're going to do a little bit different. For the sequel, we wanted to talk about our favorite horror comedies.
Horror comedies.
So we're not talking about straight up scary movies.
Could you define to me what a horror comedy?
A horror comedy are, well, basically, like, kind of how the recent run of Marvel movies have been kind of melding genres, where it's a superhero movie and a chase movie for Ant-Man, or it is a straight-up comedy with superheroics like Thor Ragnarok. So I'm talking about comedies, or at least movies where there are some horror elements, monsters, spirits, ghosts, jump scares even, maybe even some like gore, but obviously it has obvious tones of fun. You know, they're trying to still get a reaction out of people through laughter. I mean, those are, I think, the two greatest things that comedies and horror share, is that they get reactions out of people right then and there in the theater or at home when you're watching it. So hopefully that explains our definition of what a horror comedy is. A quick Google search will really help a lot of our followers if you want to tag along or start listing your own favorite horror comedies. There's a lot, actually. I mean, the 80s the 80s
slowly but surely, it's just that word is shrinking.
I know, sorry. So you know, the 80s was lousy with a number of great horror comedy. So if you guys don't mind me starting, I think one of the most obvious, you know, alley-oops out there would have to be Ghostbuster. I love
Ghostbuster. Wait,
singular?
It's singular. It's just Peter Venkman in his college years before he meets everybody.
Gotcha. That's the prequel, by the way.
The prequel
nobody asked for.
Ghostbuster, period. It's like Alien and Aliens,
twice.
Dang it. So that's what the Reitman kid's working on, huh?
Yeah.
So Ghostbusters, great fun.
Very specific. I know.
I'm going to enunciate it. Horror in Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters.
You know, again, one of the classic 80s movies with great elements of, like I said, like it's not a straight up horror movie because it is still a PG-13 movie. So, you know, teens and kids back then could still see it. But it does have supernatural elements to it. There are some legitimate scares there, like the library scene.
Oh, the library scheme.
To this day, that library scene still actually holds up.
So this is what I was thinking. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, first, go ahead.
Because of that scene, the scene in the sequel, or in the all-female version, I assumed that when they had the very first big jump scare, that it was going to be as good as that librarian scene. Unfortunately, it fell a little bit short.
Yeah.
It could have been just as good with the element of surprise, but like the fact that she pretty much stayed the same character and just, you know, screamed a little bit wasn't as fun.
I actually, and again, I'm a big proponent of that movie. I thought about that once, but I actually thought that this was a lot, the way they kind of brought it about was a lot creepier because of the fact that there was already that scene where the that attendant kind of starts screaming in horror and everything. And so the second time around when they actually when you actually see the ghost, yes, it's anticlimactic, but leading to that was great,
it's
for
fantastic.
Me because
very tense,
of,
very
yeah,
tense,
and then yeah. All of a sudden you have that kind of comedic take of, you know, of, oh, they're just playing around with me. And so that one I really appreciate. But I do agree that first Ghostbusters, I don't want to pull a
Ghostbusters.
The first Ghostbusters movie, that is to this day, even though, you know, supposedly it's like practical, it's somewhat practical effect, like what they did there. It was the way they shot the, it wasn't actually CGI or anything. It's the way they shot the camera that actually created the illusion of, of
the
what
girl.
We saw.
Of
what the girl was. I mean, yeah, everything was prosthetics. Everything was there, and it was great. And to this day, I still, every time I see that, I still kind of get the chills for it. So I agree.
So I like how, that first scene really set the tone for the rest of the movie, because you go in there, you see the cast, you know, it's these SNL alums and who have a great library of comedies, and you go in there, and that's the first scene. It's like, oh, okay, this is what we're in for. And, you know, the whole thing was just a lot of fun. It's still, like, Ghostbusters is one of those great, like, genre-busting movies where, it's a comedy, it's sci-fi, if you think of it. It's horror, and it's a bunch of great things that they did well together. So, so that's my first choice.
And I guess that's where I'm kind of confused with this whole thing. Like I told you, I'm still kind of lost because of the fact that, aside from that one moment, I can't think of Ghostbusters as a horror movie.
Yeah.
It has ghosts, it has, like, what other scene can you think of that actually has...
The scenes that really got to me as a kid, and still to this day kind of, even though the effects are kind of crappy, was the devil dogs chasing Rick Moranis.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Okay, like, you know, when they throw all the coats on him when he's in the closet, and then all of a sudden he busts out and he's running after him.
Okay, I can see that.
I got to give props to the scene where Dana is getting, I don't know if you have to edit this word, but basically groped by her chair. That was kind of creepy, dude. It was like, so that's like one of those, I can't remember. Actually, no, that's on another one of my movies, but we'll talk about that later. But yeah, the whole thing of like hands reaching out from your couch, like, it's super creepy, at least when I was a kid, so...
The skeleton's taxi cab driver.
No, that was kind of funny though. Like, but I agree that the two.
There's just
that you just gave us gave me. I guess it's things that I've forgotten. But I agree. There is. It's not as horrific. But
it's not. See, that's the thing. Is like we're going kind of comedy horror more than horror comedy. That's my thing. Is like elements of horror combined mostly with comedy. Because it's hard to do a horror comedy. You know what I mean?
I got you.
Like, the example that I wanted to use was Zombieland.
That's great, yeah.
But because Zombieland is both funny, but at times terrifying, especially if you hate zombies, and B, if you hate clowns, and then C, if you hate seeing Amber Heard as a bad person dead.
Hamburglar?
The Hamburglar. Speaking of, because if there was a zombie Hamburglar.
As a clown, zombified,
that is terrifying.
Petrifying to me right now.
That's what happens.
I have chills.
The worst.
My trash can is shaking right now.
You know, the worst part of that would be that if there's a zombie Hamburglar, that there has to be a zombie Grimace.
True.
We all know.
But I'm okay with zombie Grimace.
Weirdly enough.
I mean, like, think about that whole cast. The Hamburglar is the most terrifying one out of the...
Because you never know when he's going to stick his hand in your buns.
Yikes.
Exactly.
Yo. So he's a burglar. But with Zombieland, it's like... when I first was going to watch it, I was like, I don't want to watch this because, like, I don't like scary movies. But I love when Woody Harrelson plays comedies. And I was expecting it to be more horror than comedy, but it was very balanced. And having the cast that they had, and then actually having the, you know, audacity to bring that cast back and then create a sequel, which at the moment I still haven't seen yet. That seems to me like it's going to be one of the dollar theater ones, just because. Okay. I mean, we don't have a lot of time to do things nowadays.
I mean, I don't know. The reviews aren't coming back so.
No, hot, I mean, so. I've heard some decent ones, but the movie. I loved it when it first came out, but 10 years is a long time to remember a lot of detail from a movie. And it's, I don't feel like going back and watching it, even though it's like a staple on cable for this season. But at the same time, a lot of action, a lot of horror, a lot of scary elements.
Yeah.
And, but at the same time, a good balance with comedy. So,
and a common thread, Bill Murray.
Yes.
Yes.
With probably the greatest cameo in a movie ever.
Best worst. I don't know.
Because when they said, do you have any regrets? And he said, Garfield.
Now, since I'm struggling with idea, I have to admit, I try to be prepared for these episodes. I've been looking through my phone, and the one thing that keeps on popping up is Beetlejuice. Would Beetlejuice be considered to be a horror comedy?
Absolutely.
It's all macabre.
Yeah, I think like Tim Burton's entire library would fall under.
Is it corny?
Yeah.
On the cob?
I'm out of here.
Sorry. Yeah,
that's a lot to swallow.
Damn it, that was good!
Good! Good night.
I'm out of here.
I'm taking my sexy pirate out of here.
But you don't take your... You are the sexy pirate.
I don't know, but I got a peg leg you can use.
Oh, crap. That isn't a peg leg.
Nope.
Hey, sailor. Continue.
So, okay. Wait, is that the accent of your...
Yeah.
Your sexy... Like, hey, sailor.
Is he half French, half the Terminator?
That's fresh in my head, man.
You sound like George St. Pierre. So French Canadian is what I'm saying.
Yes. So as I was saying, we were talking about Beetlejuice, and Beetlejuice is one of those things that's the closest thing I can think of comedy and horror roar that I can come up with right now. And you know, I don't know, have we ever talked about Beetlejuice
before? We have a little bit, but not super extensively.
Okay. Not enough, because it's one of those classics. I love that movie.
Okay. But you know, if we look at the horror theme, I honestly think there's still some scenes there. It's Beetlejuice is one of those movies I can't sit through, because it's not scary as in like the jump scares, but for me it's more of the metaphysical ideas that's brought about it that terrifies the crap out of me. You know, like these two people, really nice. This couple, a really nice two people, end up basically stuck in a house.
Yeah,
you know, and that's your future. And then the only other future you have is if you decide to go to the underworld, and you're in this like terrifying DMV.
Yeah, waiting room.
Yeah, so pretty much you're either stuck in one place, you can't do anything. You know, if I remember right, they can't even go to town because
so they sandworm, dude.
Yeah, so they can't get new pieces to paint and all those things. So it pretty much is hell or hell or hell or hell. And I remember the very first time I ever watched it, that was the first thing. That's what caught my eye. It wasn't that it was scary. It was like, if this is what heaven or hell is supposed to be, I'm screwed. You know what I mean? this is going to be the way the afterlife is. I don't want to die. This is terrible. So at least for me, definitely when we think of terrifying things, at least in my mind, at least metaphysically, that was really horrifying for me.
That's still a hard movie for, I think, kids to watch. Even though when I watched it, I was a kid. Just because, like, yeah, some of the scary elements, like, visually, they're pretty
bad. Oh, yeah, dude, yeah.
Like, you know, if Michael Keaton wasn't outright trying to play a comedian, he'd be terrifying. But I didn't understand the concept that they couldn't leave the house until maybe I was, like, 18 or 19. Because it's just one of those movies you just watch, you know?
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, if they try to leave the house, they get, you know, attacked by the sandworm. I'm like, it makes sense now. That's why they can't leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, okay, so there's a concept that, you know, like you said, like reinforced, where the forever afterlife is just being stuck in the same place for eternity. So.
And if the family wasn't there, there wouldn't be a happily ever after. You know, it would just be them miserable for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. At least they'd be together? I don't know. Yeah.
But at the same time, I never would have known who Harry Belafonte was if it wasn't for Beetlejuice.
I mean, yeah, seriously.
Because he taught me Deo and he taught me, you know, jump in the line.
Wait, isn't that the same song?
No. The two different... One is the scene, the dinner table scene.
Okay.
And the other one is when she's floating in the air.
Right. Yeah. I thought it was just a remix.
Now, is it just me, or there was a cartoon, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And that cartoon was actually not even close to being
accurate.
No. And the cartoon didn't make sense because for some reason Beetlejuice and Lydia are now best friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though the whole movie they're like,
I mean, it's like a combination. It's like the follow up to Ghostbusters, the real Ghostbusters. You know how there was that animated. I hope that's on Disney Plus, by the way.
But we'll have to check.
Yeah. You know how it had nothing to do with the movie, but it had something to do with the movie.
And all of a sudden, Egon had really cool hair.
I love that hair.
All of a sudden, Egon was cool.
Yeah. Like
I love that tornado thing in the front of his head, dude. when I watched the movie again, it's like, aw.
Oh, Harold Ramis, you look lame, bro.
Where's that shotgun cannon coming out of your forehead? Okay, so for my next choice, I think I'm going to be stepping on Harold's toes on this one, but I love Shaun of the Dead. One of the best Edward Wright movies. I haven't seen Baby Driver yet, but I would argue that this is probably one of the better ones. Definitely one of those. I think this is again one of those genre defining ones because yes, it does obviously have zombies, and yes, it does have a great comedic cast in the show. So definitely, and obviously directed by a comedy director in Edward Wright. Edward Wright. So it's a great funny show, great little funny moments. I would have to argue like what Dennis is arguing or asking earlier, but like, is it a horror comedy if there's no scary moments? I would argue that the bar scene towards the end where, the team is trying to fight their way out of there was legitimately one of the scariest, most tense things you can see. How old is the movie? 10 plus years?
No, it's 15 years.
15 years old spoilers, but once, I can't remember the character's name, but his mom gets bitten and he has to, kill his mom and then fight.
Did you ask what the name of the character was from Shaun of the Dead?
Yes. Edit that. Shaun's mom.
He said edit that. No.
No, I mean, I said the S word. No, he can, edit that.
He can bleep that out.
I totally forgot. The character's name is Shaun. Turns out
his name is Of the Dead. Is his last name?
Mrs. It's, of
it's
the
Irish.
Dead.
Yeah. It's Irish, apparently.
Oh, the Dead.
Oh, the Dead. So when his mom dies, and it's a really intense moment of like, it's almost like a Romero moment in a zombie flick where, yeah, your heroes are stuck in a tough situation and it feels like there's no way out. So that's classic horror elements right there. But again, the comedy elements are still there. There are some pretty funny moments where you have to laugh, and it's good. Like I said, between that and Ghostbusters, I want to say those are the two biggest examples I got.
Edgar.
That's it? That's his brother. Brother Edward.
Yes.
Was the Edward producer.
Is the line
for you. Were you right?
No. He was more like Edward wrong. Sorry.
It's like, the guns. There's Sean and Peter. James Gunn.
Peter. Ball Gunn?
Ringo.
Who's Ball Gunn? Oh, Paul.
Billy. Paul Gunn.
Billy Gunn.
Billy Gunn.
Bart.
Yeah. I get these names right eventually.
Tim Gunn, the designer.
So before Harold goes, I want to go to my second one because I realized I do. I finally have a second one. And is Edgar Wright just does horror comedies all the time?
No,
because Hot Fuzz is a horror.
Oh, comedy. Well, you know what?
It
sort of is.
Considering, I mean, it's not as big as the other stuff that he does, but for the subplot, not name it, subplot, the main plot of that whole thing is that this is this perfect town that has been created over the deaths of all these, all these different things. One of the funniest / scariest scenes is when he finally discovers, like, the truth of everything. He falls underneath where all the people that have been killed.
Yeah. They said had, like, moved on. Or
yeah, every single person that has ever been asked to leave, all of a sudden you're there. And, of course, it being him, the one thing that he kept on focusing on was the mime. I think it was a mime.
Or no, it was the gold guy.
That, oh, yeah, the gold guy. And then he, like, there were some folks, and then there's a close-up shot, and it's the gold guy, and he, his eyes are still open, and he's just like,
he's just in place.
So, like, there were scenes, I still remember, it wasn't scary, but it was such a, I love that movie, because, I thought it was funny. I thought the whole deadpan presentation that they did was great, but that whole turn kind of took me by surprise.
Yeah, no, it's got great elements of like classic horror, like, you know, Stepford Wives or you know, Wicker Man, where it's a perfect town, but yeah, obviously it's not. So that's a great
pull. You're right. And the deaths are like gory.
Yeah. It's brutal.
Like yeah. Tim Messenger has the worst of it.
Oh, which one was it?
He's the one that
the pier, the
top of the steeple or whatever. Oh,
when it falls,
and he just looks at it like, ah,
they showed the whole thing.
Yeah. It's like, oh, here's the cut. Bam, no. Cut.
You're waiting for the cut, like the end, where it's like a reaction shot. It's like, no, they showed it. God. You
know, I was just watching that a couple of days ago, and the line that always makes me. You know, I always focus on stupid lines.
Naturally.
I was focusing on the one where Simon Pegg falls in, and then they go, "A great big bushy beard."
I don't remember that. I gotta watch that again.
Because it's like, they're like, oh, what was his characteristic? Oh, he had a great big bushy beard. And then when they show the guy's skeleton, it's a bushy beard. Damn it. That guy's clever, man. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't know what he does.
So is it, who again? What's the name of the actor for Shaun of the Dead and the
Simon Pegg?
Simon Pegg.
And Nick Frost.
So Simon Pegg is just an actor, not a writer or anything like that.
Well, he is him. So okay. Side note: let's go into this thing. So the only reason he became famous is
Star Trek.
No, yes, that too. You made me angry for a second. No, but they created a TV show in England in 1999. It's called Spaced, but it was written by and directed by Edgar Wright, and his co-writers and actors were Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, and then one of the guys from Guardians 1, Peter Safir, whatever. I'm a nerd like that. But so they had the idea for Shaun of the Dead in one of those episodes of Spaced, where he was playing Resident Evil, and then all of a sudden the zombie started attacking him from behind, and he was using his like controller first to like shoot him, and then it turns into a shotgun. Oh. So if you ever look at that clip on YouTube, it's hilarious. But they've always been, up until recently, like they did the first three big movies together, all three of those actors. So yeah,
Sean, Hot Fuzz, and End of the World, right?
The World's End.
The World's End, sorry.
Yeah. The World's End is also kind of a horror movie. Yeah,
it is.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean, it's an alien takeover.
And it's way scarier. But the more you think about it, yeah, Hot Fuzz with those dudes just walking around in cloaks, scary.
Yeah.
And just murdering people.
Even that scene, one of my favorite scenes is where he's like chasing down the one of the murderers, one of the killers. And it's just that whole getup, the whole black and everything. It's still pretty creepy to me. So, yeah, the moment you said Shaun of the Dead, I was like, wait a minute. I remember a movie like that. And there you go. It turns out it's Edgar Wright.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And at least once a year, I still have to say yarp.
Once a year? You use that all the time. That's not a once a year.
That's my favorite line right there.
Narp?
Oh, good. Stupid.
My last one for this, and then we'll go into other things, is, and I know Dennis is actually, when we're talking about this, he was saying that he didn't find it funny, but I still think the movie Scream is hilarious.
You're twisted, dude. Cause
I know.
That's not a funny movie.
Not hilarious.
It's not hilarious.
It's pretty damn funny.
No, Lewis. Jaws. That was dude, funny.
Jaws is hilarious. No, okay.
Remember that one scene where that girl was eaten by the shark? Oh!
No.
I love swimming.
You know what is a good horror comedy, though? Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, see, that was like towing the line of like, are you trying to be like a serious like action movie, or are you like LL super? Yeah, it's LL and Samuel Jackson
just for that one minutes. Scene.
Yeah,
no, but LL playing the cook.
Yes,
that for some reason doesn't like being there. Like, who hired you?
And he is a parent.
And why? Yes, and why did you choose to work here?
Why are you still in the submarine, man?
The only survivor is LL Cool J and The Punisher.
That's right, Thomas Jane.
Thomas Jane. Forget that he stayed away to the end. But yeah, that's
pretty.
It's not.
Let's analyze this real quick.
Okay, it's not so much funny as it is. At the time, at the time, it was a very good social commentary on horror movies.
Yes, right.
Breaking it down. And the character of Randy, played by everyone's favorite comedian, Jamie Kennedy, it was supposed to be the audience, was supposed to be film critics, or film experts, and be like saying things like, these are the rules of a horror. This is what, like, to me, that was just so ingenious in terms of like, you never really think about it until someone outright says it as like,
you know,
specifically on a screen. And then it's, the Courtney Cox character is pretty, her interactions with Dewey are actually kind of funny. So
I don't even remember his name, but he's a total Dewey, WCW champion.
David
Arquette.
I'm going to let you figure this one out because I know you can get it.
It took me a few steps to get there, but then I got you, David Arquette.
Also, forget without Scream, the whole horror comedy genre of the scary movies
would not exist. Yeah, so exist. You know, the Wayans should be very thankful. Yeah.
They should be very thankful for that and a crappy version of The Matrix, and for Anna Faris.
So, I mean, it seems like we kind of got the serious part of it. The one topic that I kind of thought I liked, and since we're already talking about Deep Blue Sea?
Yes.
I think, you know, let's go with moments in horror that it might be funny. But at the same time, since, like I told you, I don't necessarily watch horror movies, can we also kind of mix in scenes in movies that were not supposed to be horrors, horror movies, but you're like, oh crap,
jump scares
or anything like that. You know, so since we're talking about Deep Blue Sea, let's talk about Deep Blue Sea. Which one are you? And I'm pretty sure we all know what it is, but somebody talk about that one scene that everybody knows about.
It has to be the Sam Jackson monologue, right? Where he's in the middle of going through his, you know, scientific research and how he's going to save this whole crew. And out of nowhere, the shark just snatches him out of the water. Or not out of the water. I'm sorry. He's on land, obviously. Yeah. But he gets snatched. And, of course, it's making fun. I don't know if it's supposed to be making fun of the trope that the black guy doesn't last through the movie. And he's the first one to go. Was he the first one? One of the first. But, yeah, so that was... Yeah, it was an action flick, but that was, I don't know if they were trying to be funny, but that was hilarious how he went. Cause it was like, just like, it reminded me a little bit of like, you know, that scene in Avengers when Hulk punches Thor off screen, when it like, it snatches him so quickly, he goes off screen, and it's just like, huh, okay, that just happened.
Now, wait, real quick, better analogy is when Loki is doing his speech. And out of nowhere, Hulk grabs his feet.
He just disappears from the scene. Sam Jackson.
I watched Deep Blue Sea in the theaters, which I'm not proud of saying. And that scene, there was a whole six people in the theater cracking up so hard.
You have to, right?
Because it's like, no, it's like everyone, ha!
15 years later, he stops for a minute in Dark
Fate. 20 years from now, I'm going to find that guy and annoy him in another theater.
Since we're in the shark
shark genre,
the genre, sorry, the finra.
You know, I completely blank out where I was going with that one. So go ahead, Lewis.
We're gonna talk about The Meg. I don't know. Have you seen that movie?
I like The Meg. Okay, I actually sadly like that.
It was entertaining.
Anytime when Jason Statham
is fighting a giant shark.
Jason Statham is my new Will Smith thing.
It's like, oh, no, we can talk about that afterwards. Right? We can talk about that.
Oh yeah, you're right. We totally skipped it. We'll wrap it up later. Speaking of scary stuff, okay. So for my unintentionally scary on the other side of things, I want to give a shout out to Toy Story the First. That's how we call it now. It has for me the scene where the toys give Sid the scare, like scared me. Because it is a slow build where the whole movie, you're assuming that these toys cannot interact with humans at all. And then you see all of these, like, to be honest, I take it back. I don't even need to get to that big climax where they scare Sid. When Buzz is lost inside Sid's bedroom and you see the baby's head on the freaking scorpion or the spider. Oh my God. That is like so creepy. Like, it made my skin crawl. So, you know, props to Pixar for ruining my movie experience for that one. But definitely one of those, like, underratedly creepy, scary moments in what's supposed to be a kid's show. So, yeah, Toy Story. And then, like I said, at the end when the dead toys rise from the mud and
Woody's
the sand,
head kind of spinning around. Right,
the exorcist moment. Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, if you were Sid, if you were a 10-year-old kid...
Oh, Sid became a garbage guy.
Yeah, just because of that moment.
He couldn't recover. He's like, I'm sure he had a bright future with a Harvard or something, but no. Sanitary engineer.
Not that anybody who's a sanitary engineer...
Not that
engineer,
working for the city or as a sanitary engineer is any
great benefits.
Has more benefits than I will ever.
Oh, man. So
20 years from now, I'm still going to be working. They're going to be drinking a Mai Tai somewhere.
But in a garbage can.
In a garbage can.
Just like you.
Just like me right now. Shout out to who I want to be. So before I forget we were talking about sharks. And since you kind of mentioned Pixar seems to be really good at coming up with jump scares. It's almost like it's a bread and butter for them.
Yeah, it's
because
like their
parents. I remember watching Finding Nemo.
Oh,
we were talking
gosh.
About Finding Nemo, and you know, it's Nemo and Dory fighting. All of a sudden, the music changes, and you turn around, and there's the face of Bruce the shark.
Yeah,
and I remember the very first time I watched it, that made me jump.
Yeah,
like, oh crap, you know, and then you just hear him go, "Hello." Like, oh, so even to this day, I know it's coming, but just the way they segue, the way they kind of pace out everything, it's still a big surprise every single time.
I think we could have just done this whole episode on Finding Nemo and how freaking horrifying.
Finding what? Excuse me?
Finding Nemo.
Okay.
What did I say?
Finding Meatball?
That's what I heard.
I thought I said Frightening Nemo, which, to be honest, kind of the same.
Frightening Meatball?
Because, like, you know, scene one, when you see that freaking barracuda stalking the net, it's like, oh my God. And then, I think
like, his wife getting killed and all
of this.
Off screen, though.
Off screen.
Yeah, at least it didn't, like, steeple. It didn't come down his head.
At least you didn't see, like, the carcass, like, just floating in the background.
Like a half-eaten clown fish.
You just see the shadow of, like, half of his wife.
Or the wife's fin just, like, floating.
Yeah.
And he has to grab onto the fin, dude.
And you see all the eggs, like, half-eaten.
Oh! It's, like, leaking. It's like, oh. Yeah,
that's what he saw. That's why he became... That's why he lost his humor, dude. That's why he lost his humor.
Yeah, he can no longer be a clown fish.
And that's the secret origin of Joker. Joker. And then, like I said, we can do a whole episode. Because, like, one of my underratedly scary part of that movie, too, was that whole jellyfish run. You know, when Dory...
When the jellyfish started kind of like dropping.
Yeah, like you feel like when I saw it in the theater, I felt claustrophobic because I'm like, oh my God, like all these jellyfish are coming in and it's like there's no escape for Nemo and for Dory. And he's just like, dude, the ocean is horrifying. Like just get them out of there. So, and then of course the horrible niece, what's her name? The girl with the braces. Yeah, anyway.
Well, you're forgetting the other scary moment. Where they start descending down into the where Nemo and Dory are like, oh, look at that light.
Yes.
Look at that light.
That scene
come here.
That scene is terrible.
Yeah. Oh, okay, Dennis, you gotta tell me. You've been to Disneyland, obviously. Have you been on that the submarine ride? And they repurposed it like a couple years ago. The last time we were there with my son, they repurposed it to be more like Finding Nemo, right?
It is Finding
Nemo. Is it still that way? Because yeah. I still remember. So he's turning 11 soon, but I think it was 5 or 6 when we first got there. We get into the ride thinking, oh, it's gonna be like Finding Nemo. I remember growing up, it was fine. It was almost like one of those like science rides where, oh, here are the beautiful
fish. Yeah, it was you go there because it was hot and
right, you get some shade and an air-conditioned ride.
I never went on that ride.
Okay, but now that they've done that, the part where it goes into that deep sea dive, the whole ride takes a 180. Like the whole cabin goes black, it's red lights. I still remember succinctly my two oldest nephews, or my son and my nephew, they're both going to turn 11 now, but at the time they ran right, they jumped out of their seat and ran out of to the end where
they ran out of the submarine.
Practically don't open the hatch. But it scared the poo out of them to the point where it's like, yeah, you're right, this scene is horrifying. So I don't know why they added this to this damn ride. I could have sworn we were just here to chill, but damn it, Disney.
Since we're talking about Disney, I'm going to use one of my favorite Disney moments as a terrifying horror movie for me. The ending of Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
That is amazing. You're right. Well, I don't know about is that well, a Disney movie? Not the ending.
Not the ending ending, but when Judge Doom gets rolled over. And he gets squashed, and then he pops back up, and then he says,
he's got the
Marty, I got this time machine. No, sorry. But, and then his eyes pop out.
Yeah, dude.
And then his voice starts creeping
going higher
and up. And
is
up
it
and
just up. Like that?
Yeah. It's not supposed to be scary, but dude, that.
It's not supposed to be scary. Are you kidding me?
It's a comedy, then. It's a
cartoon. The whole movie itself, if you really think about it, it's bad. Like,
oh yeah,
you know, like his wife is sexually cheating on him. He's a rabbit for the first time, and then it's
patty
like
cake?
Yeah. And then, the climax of the patty, the
climax, patty cake,
exactly. And it's like that. He, you know, Roger. I mean, not Roger, but Marvin Acme climaxes on patty cake, and then he gets murdered. You know, so he's technically getting choked out.
At least, you know, he went.
He went when he came.
Patty cake.
Yeah. But that scene is just like, and then when his hands turn into the saws, Jesus Christ. So every time I go to Toontown, I'm like, where's the dip? Is he going to murder any cartoons in the dip? And then is someone going to run him over and he's going to reveal?
Yeah, when that boot got.
That's why.
When that boot got like melted away, it's like, oh no! Like.
Super slowly, by the way.
Yeah dude.
If you ever
do that, if it was not a boot, if it was like a nut, something else.
A nut?
That's no, who evaporates.
Marvin Acme's balls.
Imagine if it was like
disappearing ink,
a dog or something like that, and they do the same exact scene.
Oh god, with a dog!
Imagine if it was Pluto.
It would have been a rated R movie.
Yeah. But since it's a boot,
yeah, and it was a non-essential
boot. Judge Doom is a bad guy.
So like, I mean, it's terrifying. Just his character.
You're just trying to laugh out the front.
I'm trying to because like I'm literally thinking about it. And I'm like, nope. Like I remember I can't do his voice. Exactly. Obviously, we can't. Like, you feel bad. You feel bad for Eddie at that moment, especially because he finds out right then and there that his brother was murdered by Judge Doom, and it's like, and then he, you know, like it's so not. He's like he's so nonchalant about like he's a cartoon and like ah, and then it turns into like the hell sequence, and it's like
patty cake. Sorry, that scene is always ingrained.
Yeah,
where he's just flipping through the pictures. Yeah. Oh god! I can't believe this is the first time we mentioned Roger
Rabbit. I know,
it's one of the best movies of all time.
It is.
I think that's why Christopher Lloyd hasn't been getting any jobs after that, because people are like horrified by him.
Remember this: this is Christopher Lloyd's four movies back to back, basically. Well, besides Back to the Future, and then he gets. Who Framed Roger Rabbit, mm-hmm. then Back to the Future 2, 3, and then Adam's Family.
Oh, that's right. He was a cousin. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
No,
it wasn't.
Was it
which one was he?
Some kind of uncle.
Fester. Thank you. No. All right. So where were we? Are we still? Are we good with time, or do we want
to... two more maybe. Right. The last thing I want to talk about is the famous scene in Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
You know,
the chicken getting its head cut off.
Wait, what?
You remember that?
No, which one? Did I block that out? I thought you were talking about the tunnel scene, because that's like...
That's it.
That was just... okay. Was there a chicken?
Yes.
Lord, I gotta see it again then. Maybe I just blacked it out, dude, because as soon as it starts getting like, whoa, it's like, oh, this is an LSD trip.
And it's just, without my and drugs. The way Willy Wonka just starts slow, kind of like Christopher Lloyd, like raises like his voice just start changing timbre and tone, and all of a sudden all of these like different scenes, like again, one of the things I do remember was the chicken. I was like, did I just see that?
That's exactly what I get. Every time
is
I see that
maggots eating something, like eating something.
Is it an eyeball? Like,
wow. Okay, I gotta watch that again. I might have blocked that out.
So for me, it's like they used to show that movie every year.
Yes.
At school for us, and I would always be the one person's like, you know, the chicken gets his head cut off, right? And people are like, what are you talking about? I'm like. And then all the girls would be like, oh my god, and like, I told you. So I knew then and there I was a nerd.
So that's, you watch it too many times. For me, one of the last ones, I think I keep going back to the wonderful land of Pixar, but a more recent choice for me, Toy Story 4 that just came out earlier this year. Those damn ventriloquist dolls, still creepy as heck, because yeah, those dead eyes and those...
Is that what it is? Anytime any ventriloquist dolls is... I think ventriloquist dolls are scarier than clowns.
Yeah, like people say Jeff
than clowns.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Because everybody says clowns are scary. Like, I'm okay with clowns.
But what if it's a ventriloquist dummy clown?
Oh, dude, I'd pee myself. And then there would be liquid in my trash can.
But yeah, so for me, like when they introduced those henchmen in that movie, totally turned the creep factor on, because you kind of knew something was up when the scene turned into the antique store, and you know that, like, okay, this is a kind of a specific place for the director and the writer to put these characters in. And it's like, oh, that's the payoff, because you want to scare the crap out of these kids. But ironically, I think when we reviewed it, your daughter and my son were like, look at that. I was like, yeah, man, no, I'm out.
I think it's just us.
Yeah, our generation raised on... what was
it? Being what was wieners? A
bunch of wieners who can't play online. But anyways.
What about you guys?
So,
over here. One of my moments, if we're going last, and this is my last one, but is from one of my favorite movies of all time. We talked about Tim Burton earlier, and this is probably his second film, but...
Batman?
No. Mm. Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh, which one? Or what scene? Because that, yeah.
Large Marge. Do you ever remember Large Marge?
I don't think I've ever watched that.
Have you ever seen Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
I don't think so.
Okay, so the whole plot, if you guys don't remember.
Please.
The whole plot of Pee-wee's Big Adventure is that Pee-wee has the most extraordinary bike in the whole world.
The red bike.
And it gets stolen by his neighbor, played by that guy, who's always the bad guy. And so he goes on a cross, he, you know, gets someone to steal it from him while he's at a bike shop. And then he sends it cross country to Hollywood, so that no one can get it. And then so Pee-wee has to go, ends up at a psychic shop, and the lady says it's at the Alamo. It's not really at the Alamo. She just saw a sign that says Alan Moe's, so she said Alamo. Okay. Anyways, one of the people that helps him travel is he gets into a semi with an older lady who's like it's like the middle of the night. It's super creepy. It's funny because it's an animated scene right before this. And then it's him getting into the truck. And then so, like, he thinks, you know, Pee-wee's always being an optimist about everything.
Yeah.
So he's just like, yeah, you know. Oh, she's like, what are you doing? He's like, yeah, you know, you need to get to this particular place. So I'll ride with you. And literally she just starts telling this story about, like, you know, on a cold winter's night, there was a big rain and there was a big car accident. And, you know, and then she's just like, yeah. And then the person didn't make it. And then so... Pee-wee's just like, oh, who is that person? And she's like, oh, that person is me. And then he's just like, eh, you know. And she goes, he's like, oh, here's my stop. You can, you know, this is my stop. And then so he goes, he's like, yeah, I'm going to get off here. And she goes, if you're going in there, just remember that Large Marge sent you. And then she turns into an animated face that her eyes pop out and her face blows up and it scares the hell out of, like, we'll watch it right after this is done. And it scared the hell out of me as a kid. It still does because it's literally a movie about him trying to find a bike. And then there's this scene.
It's a ghost story.
Yeah. And then the funniest part is like, he goes into, not the funniest part, but like, that's the scary part. He goes into the bar and then, they're like, oh, how did you get here? He goes, oh, I was told to say Large Marge sent me. And then they're like, Large Marge died. And then he's just like, but she was just in the, and then it's just like, hilarious, but scary. So,
ooh, I hate you. Cause that's the kind of stuff that we talk about or share, the kind of story that we share, like at Big Bear. And I was,
yes.
And I would not sleep.
So after this episode is done, I'm going to show them the clip. Hopefully, if you guys don't remember that thing, you guys go on YouTube and look up the clip. Hopefully, if you guys have children, show them that clip because that's hilarious to me.
To just destroy their childhood. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
That's what we do here.
Well, destroy childhoods. I hope that you guys enjoyed our Halloween episode. You know, this is the first time we've done this.
No, we did it last year.
Oh, okay.
But it was more...
With the costumes, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, first time with the costumes. So,
it's kind of hot, but yeah.
I know. Well, I'm in this trash can, so I'm hoping that there's no echo going through when we're doing this audio. You know, if you have any ideas, like we said, if you want to do a recording, who knows, maybe next year if we're still around. I know.
Jeez, Large Marge. Thanks.
if you know, maybe we do a recording and everybody shows up and dresses their favorite, whatever it is, and that would be cool. If you have any ideas like that, please make sure to contact us. The best way to contact us is through our social media pages and apps, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So for me, since I'm the most old school one, I talk about the website, twofanboys1casual.com. This is where all our old episodes, new episodes, all our old the new articles can be found, and you can pretty much figure out who we are through this website.
Right. On two fanboys. On Facebook, you can find us, Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual. Every time the podcast goes live, we'll be posting it there. Any fun memes, news, and other stuff around the internet, we'll be sharing there too.
Also, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Fanboys One Casual. And our,
which we're now streaming
on
Netflix.
Down my pants.
Disney Plus.
Disney Plus. Oh, yes, we have shilled to Disney. No.
We have sold our souls to the mouse.
Just like everybody else. Yeah.
Except China.
Apparently.
We are now streaming on Spotify.
Say, the way you had your lips and you're like, Hulu. I can tell. I was going to say,
Hulu. We are now on Spotify. It's surprising that there's people on that thing, according to Harold. So we're excited.
Yeah. So if you want to discover us along with other podcasts, look for us on Spotify, iTunes, and on Google Podcasts.
Awesome. That's it for us today. Hopefully you enjoyed our Hollywood. Damn it, I can't say that.
You keep saying Hollywood.
Hollywood.
I can't say horror, so you know.
I mean, I guess that's what I get for being the one born in America.
Horrorwood.
Ghostbuster.
There you go. Horror. That's it for us today. Hopefully you enjoyed our episode. As usual, Two Fanboys of Filthy Casual, brought to you by the letters A.
S.
B? Oh, I'm sorry.
That was your opportunity. Well, that's it for us. This is Dennis.
You went with a SODC student body.
This is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
This is disappointing.
Dad, what are you doing here? Oh, a true horror story.
I still have financial aid. Never mind. We're done.
Pay off my student loans?